Well, I appreciate being here. God's grace is sufficient. And if you come across 40 and 75, you know that it is. Where in the world was all those idiots going? Lord have mercy. 70 mile an hour zone, and we stop. Just stop. Must be a wreck. Construction. You go 10 more miles, creep up through there, you don't see nothing. I'm telling you. So we got here, but we're here. And I appreciate the message, Brother Sam. I appreciate that singing. And Brother Donnie leaned up and whispered. He said, "Daddy, I'm about to get Pentecostal here." Oh, Lordy. I'm looking forward to... I'm glad y'all put on this conference. I thank you, Steve, and the church, and the hard work Mark and them do, and all the members here. I think it's been about 4 years since I was here. I wasn't here the last one. And me and June, we turned 70 this year and just fell apart. We ain't got all the pieces put back together yet. And but by the grace of God, we just make you appreciate that new body when you get it, won't it? But anyway, she's doing good. She went through her radiation and everything, and everything got a good report too. And so I appreciate your prayers for her. I jotted down some things and before we turn, and Paul gave us some things about Christ. Everything I have in Christ. There's nothing that I can boast about. There's nothing that I can say that this caused God to love me and save me. Now, grace to me. Now, we know that it's unmerited favor. But grace to me is the Lord knew what a failure I would be. He knew how much I would fail Him, sin, fuss on the road. People call it road rage. I call it righteous indignation. All of that. And he knew I wouldn't do nothing. Lazy, sorry scoundrel. And he saved me anyway. That's grace to me. And I'm glad that I was saved. So all I know about the Lord, I'll know about Him through this book. Oh yeah, by the way, it's 9:11, just in case y'all want to time me. Okay, I started about 3 minutes ago, so you subtract it. Now, most of you go to the movies, and you go to that 9 o'clock show, a lot of you. You know, the late show, 9:15. So, you spend 2 hours in there watching a movie, pay $20-$25 to go in there. So, here we are. Hadn't cost you nothing yet. And you're sitting on padded pews. I mean, you can stretch back. So just enjoy the ride. Now, Paul talks about, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read there, but he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and notice in verse 20. In 1 Corinthians, I'm in 2 Corinthians, so you can't read that with me. verse 20. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Now, I have a... what kind of brain you say that was? A what? A chemo brain. Well, I got that too, and I never took chemo. So, me or you won wrong. But look what he said. For all the promises of God in Him are yea and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. You know, there's nothing negative about Jesus Christ. All of the promises you can say amen to. I mean, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. In Christ, I'm justified. I jotted some other things. He said there, I'm accepted. Paul talks about being accepted in Christ. Not in myself, in Him. He's my peace. He's my life. The truth is in Jesus. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. Everything you have from God the Father, you have it in Christ. And so there's some things that I want to talk about. The Bible says in Colossians, He's before all things, and by Him all things exist. He's the head of the body, the church. And He says, who is the beginning? You want to know where the beginning of the body is? Christ. You want to find out when Christ, in Colossians 3, when Christ, who is our life? Paul said He only hath immortality. Your eternal life is not yours, it's His. In Christ, we are. And I want to give you four things and I'm going to close. Okay? 15 minutes per. And I'll close. Four things about us in Christ. We have security. I knew Sam was going to had that on his lid, the security of the believer. We're all in agreement, or at least you ought to be. I know people call it once saved, all this stuff that they say about it. Well, I'm going to give you four things why you're secure. Number one, I want you to look with me in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and notice what Paul says there. In Galatians 3, in verse 26. Now let's begin there. For ye are all the children of God by faith in who? Christ Jesus. And He said, now notice, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I heard a preacher, a well-known preacher, and he put water there and said baptism was the clothes of the believer. Now, I'm telling you, and people, I was there, I heard the man. Well, this baptism is not water. There's no water found in several chapters of this baptism. Notice, water never puts you into anything. But this baptism, He said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You didn't have nothing to do with putting on Christ in this baptism. Amen. This baptism is between the Lord and you and the Lord. This is not something you grow into. It's done when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. You trust Him for what He did on the cross. You're baptized into the body of Christ, and in the body of Christ, you're in Christ. And you put on Christ. Notice what he said in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Now hold the phone. I've been baptized in cold water, warm water, running water, still water. But every summer I'd go up front at the summer revival and I'd end up getting baptized. Had to be rebaptized. I went in a male and I came out a male. This baptism, there's neither male nor female. Then you know it's got to be spirit baptism. Baptized into Christ is identifying yourself in Christ by identification. So what is it? Number one, why am I secure in Christ? Because I have His identity and not my own anymore. God Almighty imputed His righteousness and put His righteousness to my account. God doesn't see me as the old man that I am. He sees me as the new creature and with a new spirit, a new man inside in the body of Christ. Everybody in this building that's saved tonight, you're spiritual. Now you think about it. Now your walk, you might be as carnal as the church at Corinth. Your walk might be carnal. Your life might be carnal. But if you're in Christ, you're spiritual. Amen. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This baptism is a spiritual baptism. It's identifying you in Christ. You take on His identity. This baptism is very important. But the water baptism, not so much. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. And I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Paul was thankful that he didn't baptize them people. Now what if a good old preacher got up that believed in water baptism and he gets up and to his congregation and he looks at them and he looks at them in the eye and he says, I thank God I didn't baptize none of you. That'd go over like a lead balloon, wouldn't it? But look on. Verse 17. Why would Paul say something like that? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are baptized in water. No, save them that believe. Verse 23, for we preach Christ crucified. He look in verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Folks, I want to tell you something. The 12 could not say it. They couldn't write what Paul just wrote. Jesus Christ sent the 12 out to baptize. He said, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Let me tell you something. They couldn't have said that. Paul never was not sent. And I don't care whether or not they're talking about him being, I heard one say, well, the reason Paul wasn't sent to baptize, he was a missionary. Paul, let me show you what Paul was. Look over in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it is. Chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, you want to know the will of God? You want to know what your work's going to be at the judgment seat? You know what that work is? It's the work you do inside His body. That's where you're at. And we want to put S on it. Work. No, it's work. Here it is in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Then God's will that every man, boy, girl, woman, whatever, be saved. Whether they're red, yellow, black, or white, God's Son went to a cross. God's Son died for all man's sins. All of them. And all of them has the means to come to God and be saved. You don't have to go to a man that's dressed like grandma in a long gown and go to hell and confess your sins. You don't have to go to a preacher. You don't have to do none of that stuff. You don't have to go up front. You don't have to confess to people. Brother, all you need to do is believe something. What is it? Christ went to that cross and God Almighty judged His Son in your place. God, He died your death. He took your place. He's your substitute. And you trust Him as your Savior, believing that He died for you, you'd be saved. Now, I know I get a little loud, but it keeps you awake, don't it? I mean, I've tried to tone it down ever since I had the blood clots, but you know something's going to take us out of here anyway. You know something? I feel better when I do it my way. And I don't care what that song is, what is that, shall they sing it, He did it His way. Well, this is my way. Now you can like it, you can lump it, you can thump it, you can dump it. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do it my way. Amen? Well, I wouldn't preach like that. That's why you're not up here and you're down there. Now look what he said. Who will help all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's two things in that verse. One's getting saved, others coming to the knowledge of the truth. You want to see about Paul? Look what he said in verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now watch it. Who gave himself a ransom for how many? All to be testified in due time. Whereunto I'm ordained a what? What? What was Paul? A preacher, an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now where did he say he was a missionary? We're all missionaries. We're all ambassadors. And we have the message, and that message is Christ. Amen. And folks, you have His identity if you're in Christ. I'll never forget 1971. Y'all, I never told my testimony to y'all, have I? What are y'all laughing about? course not. I mean, that it's important to me. But the night I got saved, I was in a hotel room, 19 years old, and there I trusted Christ. You know, when the Lord saved me, I got down. I didn't have to get down. I didn't have to do nothing. I didn't know that. But I wanted to be saved. I knew I was going to hell. I got down and said, Lord, I'm lost. And I'm tired of this feeling of guilt. And the night after the moment He saved me was when I said, Lord, I know You died for me. I wasn't caring about, I didn't care about the world. I wasn't praying for the world. Like Jesus in John 17, He said, I pray not for the world. I was down there wanting something for me. And that's when the peace came. And that was in 1971. And that peace is still with me today. I'm identified. God sees me in His Son. Now, I want to... Time just flies up here. You know that. It's just not fair. Look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. You're identified. Romans 13. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Well, how do you put Him on? What was He talking? I thought the Baptist. Folks, one has to do with the Lord. The other has to do with your walk. You put on the Lord Jesus in your walk by knowledge. Look in Colossians. I tell you what, before we go there, while you're there in Romans, look back in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, and notice what he says. Verse 8. Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the what? Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go back to chapter 2. In verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged to no man. Come to chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. They was in Christ. They were saved. They were baptized. They were spiritual. But their walk was carnal. So carnal, he could not feed them with the meat of the Word. Just like a lot of people are today. Why, Galatians says, if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. What kind of walk we have? You're either carnal or you're spiritual. But if you're in Christ, you're spiritual, your walk might be carnal. It has to do with standing and state. Now what your standing never changes, but your state can change day by day. And that's why he said renewing that new man. Renewing daily. Day by day. Now, look with me. Look back in verse, let's see, where am I at? I'm in chapter 2, right? Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So you take the spiritual things of Romans through Philemon and you compare them with spiritual people as doctrine. You show them what they have in Christ, His identity. I'm inseparable. Why are you there? Turn back to Romans chapter 8. I can't be separated from Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he lists several things. Verse down there in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, if you're in Christ, there's nothing that can separate you from the Father's love. You know that? Somebody said, well, any other creature, that don't matter. You can separate yourself. Are you kidding me? Surely the Lord don't let people that dumb walk around like that. I mean, He said there's nothing shall be able to separate us. Why, the Spirit of God. Look back in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. If you have the Spirit of God, you're going to know that God loves you. It's not so much that we love Him. He loves us. He's the one that showed His love for us. Look down in verse 8. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He died for us while we were yet sinners. When sing that song when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. And He would have went to that cross and He would have died for somebody like me. He would have died for me. Not somebody like me. Me. And He shed His blood for me. Thank God for Jesus Christ tonight. The very thing this world, the grace of God and the Lord, and they make fun of Him. But one day, the line of Judah's coming. The day of wrath of the Lamb, of the Son. And they're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains, and they're going to hide from the face of Him that sitteth in the heaven. That's my Savior. And He went to the cross, and they could do whatever they wanted to do with Him. He said, this is not my time. This is your hour. And God turned Him over to Gentiles and had Israel turn Him over to Gentile soldiers. And you know, they mocked Him, they hit Him, they beat Him, pulled His beard out, stripped Him down naked, and made fun of Him. And He bore that cross. That's my cross He's bearing. He had no sin to die for. He was born of a virgin. He never had an evil thought. No gall was found in His mouth. And there He goes up Golgotha to Calvary. And there they nail Him to a cross and they boom. And there He is hanging between heaven and earth. And He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? because God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank God for Calvary. And he died. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's an act of faith. Because he died being made sin. In that condition, he became what you are. And he believed God would give him the eternal life. And he steps out into that death. And on that third day, he came up.
Amen.
You can go to Buddha. You can find his grave. You can find his dust. You can find his bones. You can find he's still there. You can go to Muhammad. You can go to Mary. You can go to all of these people that they say is God. No, no, no. There's been one that God raised from the dead. That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That went into death and went into hell, and God, when he was satisfied, it's enough. And he was raised for my justification. I'm inseparable. I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That day of redemption, you say, I thought you was already redeemed. That day of redemption is the redemption of my body. You see, I'm saved spiritually, waiting to be saved physically. One of these days, I won't have to go every 2 months and get an infusion for rheumatoid arthritis. One of these days, you'll never have to worry about cancer. One of these days, the Lord's going to change my vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. Thank God, one day I'm going to be with Him. And Paul said to be with Christ is far better than to stay here. One day we're headed out. And the knowledge of me, God's knowledge of me, is why I'm secure. Let me give you some scripture on that. Look in Galatians chapter 4. Now you see, it ain't been that long, has it? Galatians chapter 4. And notice in verse 9. Galatians 4:9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are what? Known of God. Does He know you tonight? Turn with me and look with me in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice what he says. You see some false doctrine that come in. Overthrew the verse. Notice in verse 16, this is sort of what Sam was talking about when the fish get too fishy. No. Too bony. Bony. Yeah, too fishy too. I was sitting back there eating. I wasn't eating. I was sitting back there thinking about watermelon. I was thinking about, me and June like to buy them seedless watermelons now. Well, a guy brought me one. That thing was nice. It was big. And I brought it in the house. And I couldn't hardly cut through the thing. It was so many seeds in it. I thought, now that's like a lot of preachers. You know, if you eat watermelon, you spit seeds out. Mama always said if you didn't, they'd grow inside of you. I wouldn't dare swallow a watermelon seed. And I was thinking about that. Well, when it gets too seedy or too bony, this is what you ought to do. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babbling. Now, if you're Jeannie back there, you won't even meet a piece. If she finds one bone, the whole piece goes out the window. Said, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat if doeth a canker, like gangrene. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew the faith of some. They didn't say it wasn't a resurrection, they just said it already happened. And it overthrew the faith of some. And that's what happened, and that's why people go shipwrecked. False doctrine. But notice what he says in verse 19. Nevertheless, even though their faith is overthrown, they're believing the wrong things, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now how can you be? The Bible says in Ephesians 5, we're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. You're a part of Him. You're in His body, which He's the head, and Him not know you. He knows you. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if you're trusted Christ, you've been identified in the death, burial, resurrection, baptized by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit into the body of Christ. Folks, God sees you in Christ. And He don't. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. There's nothing to condemn you. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. Now look what he says. Turn with me and compare, and I'm going to close. Look in Matthew. Now you know Paul wrote Philippians, and he wrote two chapters, and he comes to chapter 3, and he says, finally, brethren, he was half done. Now look with me in Matthew chapter 7. Somewhere, there's a judgment. Verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Boy, ain't that something? I preached in your name. And in thy name cast out devils. Now that's a seed you just better stay away from. If you come across somebody that has been casting things out, and I did at the Bible study about a couple months ago, this man, I said, well, you saved? And he said, oh yeah. And then he said, God's power is real to me. I cast a demon out of a man. I knew right there, buddy, what I was, ooh. I stayed away. I thought, that's worse than COVID. He said there in verse 22, have prophesied, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. Isn't that something? And then when I profess unto them, I never what? Knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. All the religious works that they were doing to satisfy God is iniquity. He said, I never knew you. Now I want to ask you something. If you stand before the Lord, Could he ever say he never knew you? No. So you are identified in his death, burial, resurrection. What could God do more to you than he's already done to his son? No more punishment. You're in Christ. You're inseparable from his love. Never feel like you're not loved. God demonstrated that. And he'll never say, I never knew you. I hope you know the Lord, and I hope he knows you. God requires one thing, you to be lost. You know why people don't get saved? They never see themselves lost. They see themselves a good person. They see themselves better than those that go down there to that church. Well, I don't do what they do, and they claim to be a Christian. Then you need to get lost. Amen. All right. I'm done.